Welcome, Popcorn Talk fans. We talk Sharknado 4 and Tie the Knot with Tara Reid. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's I Talk Movies.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking movies. We're talking Sharknado 4 and Tie the Knot. We have Daryl Kristen as my co-host today.
What's up, everybody? Excited to be here.
That's right. And our special guest of today, who we're talking movies with, Tara Reid. Welcome to Popcorn Talk.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Of course. And you know what? For our fans, they know I love Sharknado. And Daryl loves shark movies and Sharknado as well. So this is quite an honor. We'll talk about many things, but I want to start right off the bat. In the third one, the shark comes down, eats you, and there's a screen that pops up, April lives, April dies, and now you're in. The fans have voted you into this movie. How does that feel?
I mean, it's awesome, but I have to be honest with you. I didn't know for the first 7 months. I'm like, what kind of voting is this? Like, normally you vote, and you know, like, okay, April lives or April dies. I'm like, well, did I live? Did I die? Like, what's happening? And then we finally found out, I'm lucky, 98% voted for me. But of course, you know, the studio has to pretend a bit.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. I mean, the feedback on, it's the first movie that they ever did where the Twitter fans got to vote. Mm-hmm. And when that whole thing started, even they thought they had, you know, 24 hours, 48 hours tops to pick. And just the love that came out of Twitter was just amazing, you know? Like, I had some people that took the screenshot of the last shot where I'm going down after I just gave birth to a shark from outer space, you know? And they're like, if April dies, we riot. Like, just the things that the fans came up with was awesome, and it felt really good, and it's nice to feel like love, especially we do these movies for the fans, you know, and it's really cool to have that feeling, and that's kind of what inspires you to keep doing these films, because they're not just about Sharknado. They become like, it's not just a cult film. We never knew that it would be one. Yeah. But people have, like, Sharknado parties, and it gets people together, and this is the fourth one, and they're like, oh, my God, we're throwing the biggest Sharknado party. Like, it puts people together. It's almost like a holiday these days.
I got invited to one, so.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
It's fun.
And then you just mentioned that you didn't realize that it was going to be such a cult classic, because it definitely has become that. But what do you think it is about the movies that fans just cannot live without? Because whenever you see the promo for the movie, everybody just gets excited. I mean, they're like, what is going to be next in this movie?
I think that the movie doesn't take itself serious, obviously. Yeah. And because it's so over the top, you know, it's cheesy, it's ridiculous. But yet, we play the characters straight. So while you guys are cracking up, we're like, oh my God, it's a shark, we better do this. Go, run! And meanwhile, there's rubber sharks going on, there's nothing happening. And I think the fact that we take it so serious and the background is absolutely ridiculous and absurd, that's where the humor comes in.
Yeah.
And I think also a film like this takes you away from overthinking something. It's not watching a sad movie, or you don't really have to think watching this film. You just have to laugh and enjoy yourself. And in today's day, that's really important with all the things that are going on in the world. Sharknado, just for that hour and a half, really takes you somewhere else, and it's great.
Well, what I appreciate about it, as you said, like there's a love for it, and you know, we were talking off screen, the fact that you can go to Toys R Us or wherever it was and just buy sharks, and it works within that movie, is just it's just a think tank of creativity for solutions of like, okay, well, how do we do this? And there's the solution, and that's what I love about it. You know, so, I mean, what's the vibe like on set for you guys? Has it evolved? Has it changed from one to now four?
I mean, the first one, we thought, what are we doing? Like, this is so bad, we're never going to work again. And originally it was called Dark Skies. So we thought, okay, we'll do this movie, no one's going to see it. It's a sci-fi movie, kind of take the like money and run, and no one will see it. It's a movie of the week on sci-fi. Then, who knew? We were getting a million tweets per minute. I'm like, what's going on? I get this phone call, like, can you believe what's happening? I'm like, what's happening? We did no press for it, nothing. And it kind of just came out of nowhere. And then it grew and it grew and it grew. And people just started loving this film, loving it. And the more ridiculous the storylines came, because you think, you know, the first one, how can you like cut open a shark and pull someone out and they're all alive, right, you know? And each one got, you know, then in the second one, you know, he you know, my arm is now cut off and he pulls my arm out of the shark. He takes the ring off my finger and re-asks me and remarry right. him again, you know? And then in the third one, I wound up like giving birth like to a baby in a shark from outer space. So you keep thinking,
yeah.
you know, and then the fourth one, this one, you know, I can't give it all away, but it hits another new level. And you think, how do they even think of these ideas? And they go for it. I mean,
and it works.
It works. And I think people are really going to enjoy this one. This one by far takes it to another level that I can't even explain. You'll see it well, for
this one's 5 years in the since the last time we saw them, correct?
Yes. Well, this will be the fourth one, but since we started making them.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And so, you know, how have the characters changed, you know, in that time span from the third movie going into this one?
Well, I think the first movie was, first of all, it was ridiculous when we read the script. Like, really, sharks are in tornadoes flying from the sky, eating people in Beverly Hills, like, right. going through pool things, like, ending up on the 405. I'm like, how are they living? I mean, there's no water. And we were trying to make sense of the script that made no sense. And then what we started realizing is Sharknado, anything can happen in Sharknado. It doesn't have to make sense. In one scene, I can have this on, and then cuts to the next scene, and I have something different on. There's no continuity. There's no anything in it.
That's amazing.
And that's our answer. We're like, well, it's Sharknado. So anything goes. And people die in it, they come right back. It doesn't matter. There's no rules. And I think as the movie grew and got bigger and bigger, the rules changed more and more, the worse they got. And I think that's what makes the movie funnier and funnier.
And I think people love the fact that each time you don't know who's going to make a cameo. I mean, I literally can't wait to see the new one just to see who's going to be on the cameo. I mean, we have Maria Menounos, who's our founder, was in the last one. And then it's just like, we just really like to watch and see what's going to happen to the next person. I mean, I remember like, they're just Salt from Salt and Peppa, or Peppa from Salt and Peppa, she got killed, and there's just so many different people that are on there that you enjoy watching.
And that's the beauty of it. Like, everyone, like, there's so many people, they're like, I don't even need a lion. I just want to get eaten by a shark.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's all they want. You know, so half the time people ask us about the cameos, and we don't even know who the cameos are. They barely tell us, unless we have a scene with them. But a lot of times, it's just that they want to get eaten by a shark. It's funny. My favorite one was the second one was Kelly Osbourne. She's a good friend of mine, and that was really fun.
Did she reach out to you to be in it, or how did that come about?
We talked to each other about it, and she's like, I would definitely do it. Mm-hmm. And then we reached out to her, and she did it, and she's actually really good in it. She's a great girl, but she's a great actress. And then the third one, like a dream come true, my mom got to be Bo Derek. I mean, come
wow,
on.
Wow, yeah, that's legendary,
like,
right
Bo
there.
Bo Derek's going to play my mom? Like, that was awesome. And now this one is even crazier. Gary Busey plays my father. So when you think about it, Bo Derek and Gary Busey made me. Like, of course that makes sense, yeah. You know?
Are there any cameos, whether from the fourth one or even the previous ones, who you would have wanted to be in a scene with?
There's so many of them, but again, like, you don't realize who's doing it. But when you see their cameos, they're really awesome. Because what happens is, during, like, when we're shooting the film, they don't even know who the cameos are. So after the movie's done, they get all these people that want to do cameos. So they actually reshoot the people just to have cameos in it. So there's not that many scenes that we're involved with the cameos. Mm-hmm. Like, most of the cameos aren't really cameos because they're smaller parts, but the true cameos are the ones that get eaten by a shark.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then typically, how long did it take you to film the movie?
Well, that's kind of what's crazy. With all the special effects and everything, it would take most people months and months, you know. Our average movie is about 18 days to film
wow.
all this. So
really fast.
It's crazy. We're shooting 13 pages a day sometimes.
Do you guys sleep during
yeah,
that?
Not really. I mean, I think this one, because of weather and different things, I think we only had 15 days.
Wow.
And with this one, you'll see more special effects on this one that you think it just makes no sense in so many ways, but of course it makes sense. But
yeah.
Wow, like this one, when we were shooting it, I thought, oh my God, like this one is by far going to be the worst one so far. Like how we're going to put this together. And then originally, like right now, I just did ADR and it works,
yeah.
like, you know, in its own way. It really does.
We see your character in the promo doing like a backflip. It seems like you got a lot more action even than the previous films in this one. Did you have to train a lot for that, or what was it, CGI'd a lot of it, or how did it work?
This one was awesome because her character grows from the first one to now. But again, in the third one, it was up to the fans. April lives or April dies. So in this one, it's 5 years later. So you don't realize what happens in the film, why it's 5 years later, and what happened to her.
Yeah.
So the story will unfold. You know, most people do think she's dead in the beginning, and then she unfolds herself, and you realize she's learned a lot.
She pulls a Nova.
She pulls beyond a Nova. She becomes like a role that I think that every actor dreams of playing one day, and I become a superhero in this movie. Oh. Like, I could fly. I have, like, you know, I have laser arms. It's like everything, you know, when she had the chainsaw hand, there's so many gadgets that go on this thing now. It just basically could do anything. She could run, like, faster than the speed of light. She could carry a car.
Wow.
I mean, she completely...
She's badass.
She's really badass. And it was so much fun to play on this role. I mean, she totally took a 360, and it's just... It was great and so much fun to play. And also ridiculous at the same time, you know. And again, that was so much fun. And when you see the film, everyone goes to another level in this film.
And while you're playing the character, are there times that you give input and say, you know what, this is working or this isn't working, or maybe we should switch this up? Or is it pretty much strictly by the script?
It's not by the script. I mean, you basically get the script, and we don't do the script at all. I mean, A, we don't have the time to shoot what's on the script, and sometimes it makes absolutely no sense because what we shot before, because we're cutting down the scenes or we're making them. So I would say at least 60% of this movie is improv. And so you're just going, and you don't even know what the other person's talking about, but you just run with it. And you're like, what are you saying? And you know, in this movie, there's such a trust between, you know, Anthony, the director, and me and Ian. You know, us three started from the first one till now, and there's just a trust level that makes us be able to create these moments that we have, because anyone else that we're doing with, we would think there's no way we could do the scene. And we actually trust each other to know that somehow it will play.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we had Thunder Levin for the last one. He was saying, you know, like there is an evolution to it, which is kind of smart, where he was saying, you know, initially when Sharknado happened, you know, we didn't answer a lot of questions. And now questions are being raised, and we're kind of starting to answer them, but not quite. So the best example I can give of that is in the third one, when they're like, how are these sharks in space? And your rebuttal is, well, how are they in a tornado?
That's just the thing. You don't, in this one, you really don't know how anyone's anywhere. I mean, there's scenes that we go, I can't give it all away, but we go from one where, like, someplace, before you know it, we're on a plane. Like, how did we get on the plane? Like, there's no cut to that. And how did we get the plane to somewhere else, like Niagara Falls? Like, why are we there? Like, what connected there? And how did we get to, like, Kansas or Vegas? Like, nothing makes sense, you know? And I think that's the beauty of it. I mean, it's truly, it's like there's, like, a Wizard of Oz effect in it. There's just a little bit of everything. And that's what's going to really make this movie funny, because it makes no sense, but it's even funnier because it's so disconnected, but at the same time, it's actually really connected.
Yeah.
Is it going to be a little bit more spoofy now? Like, the title itself, The Fourth Awakens, obviously a call to Star Wars, you know, The Force Awakens. Is it going to draw from that movie and other movies in a way, or not really?
I think they, you know, one thing that they've been really good with making the Fourth Awakens. So they knew that was going to happen with Star Wars. And even when we did the whole first thing, it was, you know, they're very smart about the publicity and how they promote it. Mm-hmm. So, like Game of Thrones, when you didn't know if he was going to die or live, that was the first thing that they did with me, you know, is April alive. And it was the same shot that they used with him, with my face down and you couldn't tell. Like, so the way they're promoting it is things that work already. Mm-hmm. And then they take a twist on it, and then they just do what Sharknado does best, and they don't even know what they're doing, but it works.
I kind of have a two-part question for this. First, where would you like to see April be in, like, 5 years? And then what city would you like to see the next Sharknado movie be in?
Where I see April in 5 years? At this point, knowing what our last child, who's now 5 years old, when we first had him last year, because the 5 years cut by. And remember, he was born in a shark from outer space. Right. So this kid isn't a normal kid.
Right.
So he is.
He's special.
He's definitely special. So it's another level of a character we're adding in. To see where she's going to grow with the kids and on their special levels. And now April's not April anymore. She's half like human and half robot. So she's battery operated. So she has both sides to her. So to see where she's going to go and where the kids are going to go, and who knows if we're going to have more kids in the film or what's going to happen. In this movie, I can never guess. I really can't guess. Yeah. We never know what the storyline's going to be. But one thing I think that works with this film, it does have a lot of heart. As silly and ridiculous as it is all about the family. They're always fighting to save their family and get to each other. And in that, they're saving the planets and the worlds. And so the heart of the story is pure. And it's never making fun of someone, or it's not negative, and that's why people like it, because it's silly and it's fun and it makes you laugh. It's so absurd that it's great. It's so bad that it's good.
Yeah.
You know, I do think that the next film, I mean, we pretty much have done all America. I can't imagine too many more Sharknadoes hitting America. So I would guess that for sure we're definitely going to hit another country. Yeah. Where I would like to see it would probably be Australia. Australia has a lot of sharks.
I was going to say, they got a lot of sharks there.
They have a lot of sharks. And one of the things we do is we shoot always in February. So February, everywhere we've been shooting, it's so cold. You know, so February is the summertime there. So it would be so nice to shoot in warm weather with sharks. Now, do I think it's in Australia? Probably not. But it's definitely going to go over the seas, definitely, for the next one.
Yeah.
I think that could be fun. I mean, it reminds me of the like old TV shows where they just end up on spring break in Cancun. Why? Because the crew wanted to go to Cancun.
Right.
Yeah, otherwise, that's true. You know, there's no sense of it otherwise.
Yeah. I'd want to go.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or even like vacation. They start there before you know it. Yeah. You know, they're in London.
Yeah.
Right.
Big Ben, 100 times in a row. So who knows with that?
That'd be a good place.
Yeah.
Japan, Korea, somewhere over there too.
That'd be really cool too.
that would be definitely interesting. Let's see. Comic-Con. You mentioned Comic-Con, right? And you know we're coming up on that. You're heading there tomorrow. I think
tomorrow.
You mentioned.
Yeah.
You know, you've obviously been there before. What are you looking forward to this year versus other years? And like, what are you anticipating?
I think I can't remember, because last year when I went there, I couldn't believe like what was happening. They gave all those the saw hands away, and they must have given out 50,000.
Wow.
And everywhere we went, everyone had it on. I mean, it took over Comic-Con.
Yeah.
You know, it was like people were dressed as like Sharknadoes. Like they put all this stuff with sharks in their head, and the costumes that I've seen all over the place.
What was one of the craziest costumes you saw?
They're all like, I mean, they really put time into it. They'll have the whole Sharknado around their body, shark stuck in the top. Like some of them even have like those wind machines that you get when you're hot.
Oh, yeah.
And they pull the hair out. Like, I mean, they go all four. I've seen costumes like I've never seen in my life. Dogs even wear Sharknado costumes.
I've seen that. I've seen it online.
I mean, it's gotten like to a place where it's out of control.
Yeah.
So I'm really curious of what's going to happen this year. Because, again, the people have fun with it. And Comic-Con's fun. And it's where like, kind of a group gets together. And they do it every year. And that's what Sharknado's been. So I think they're really looking forward for this film. And again, who knows what's going to happen? It's probably the most unpredictable film of all times. You just don't know.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't.
Hopefully they don't come dressed up like they just walked out of a shark.
I mean,
that was funny in the movie, but I don't know about in real life.
There could be. I mean, you have like, you know, when I did the Big Lebowski years ago, you have every year the Lebowski Fest, and half the people are dressed as the dude, half the people are dressed as me, Bunny. I mean, so you never know what's going to happen in this film.
What's been the craziest thing a fan's asked you to do or, like, sign or just something really unique that they've said to you?
I would say the most, the craziest stuff I've ever, that they asked for the most is probably The Big Lebowski.
Okay.
Because that movie has become such a cult film. And then you have American Pie stuff, but nothing's too crazy with that one. Yeah. The Sharknado stuff, it's the branding on that one. It's so big with the merchandising, where that's the only film I've done where the merchandising is that big. So the things that they come out with, I don't even know they made.
Yeah.
You know, so they ask you to sign things. You're like, we made bed sheets too. Like, you know, like it's unreal. So I would say a mix of everything.
And they don't ask you to sign something weird, like sign my armpit or, you know.
Oh, no. I get asked to sign stuff like that all the time. I'm like, but why do you want me to sign your, like, arm? Like, you're eventually going to wash your hands off. Right, like, yeah. You're better off with, you know, anything else. So they're like, no. I mean, I've had some people, like, make a tattoo out of my autograph on their hand. But then I thought, God, I should have wrote my name so much better. You know, like, I didn't realize you're going to make a tattoo out of it.
It was like the Dr. Pimmon
shit. Yeah. Like,
did you know that going in, or did they, like, tell you?
No, I didn't know that. They're like, can you sign my arm or can you sign my chest? So you sign it. But then when you realize that they're going to make a tattoo out of it, you're like, maybe I should have made my name a little bit clearer.
Now, David Hasselhoff is joining the cast this time. Legendary. I mean, people were talking about that, too, how he's going to be in the film. Did you get a lot of scenes with him? And
this
and
one, I have a lot of scenes with him. He was in the last one, too, but I had no scenes with him. And this one, I would say at least 60% of my scenes are with him. And the guy's awesome. I mean, he's such a good guy. He's so funny. He's very professional. He looked at this movie half the time. He's like, I can't say that. I can't do this. This is just ridiculous. And somehow, between the two of us, when we had to say the most ridiculous lines together, it's almost like your skin is crawling. You're like, I can't say this. Like, it looks so bad. And somehow we would just do it. And he was such a team player on it. And I loved working with him.
Yeah.
The Hoff.
I mean, it's the Hoff. Yeah. I mean, can't go wrong.
Exactly.
Well, I'm excited that he's back because in the third one, it makes it seem like he's just going to end up, you know, on the moon, and that's his happy place, and that's it. We're never going to see him again. So to now get him in the fourth one, I think that's going to be fantastic.
Yeah. And again, how, when you see the film, how they put him back here is unbelievable.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
that'll definitely be interesting. Can I ask you a question about American Pie? Is that all right?
Yeah, of course.
Would you, because I was thinking about this today, would you, you know, where in terms of, for me, the four ones that they've done are like, those are the ones, and they've had other offshoots, but those are the ones that stand out to me in terms of what they are. The way the storylines have gone, they've taken you to the natural progression of kind of now everyone's sort of married and settled down. Would you ever be open to kind of almost like, where now the group has kids and you guys become like the Eugene Levy types in the sense that now your kids are having these antics and you have to...
I think that kind of started off in the last one, the American Pie Reunion. You started having the kids It started working. I definitely think that would for sure be a possibility. And I also think it'd be the possibility where... One thing about American Pie, everyone, when we first did the first one, half the like big name actors in this town passed on it because it was comedy before it was so raunchy. But actually, when you really look at the film, it wasn't that raunchy. No. I mean, it's something that we all kind of go through, and it was this innocence and about losing your virginity, and you know, and the relationship with the father and the kids, and losing your virginity on prom, and everyone you related to one character.
Absolutely.
And I think in that movie, it's grown like that, and I think if there was another one, you would have what you were talking about. Mm-hmm. I think there could even be divorce in it. I think there would be kids in it. People ask me all the time if there's going to be a five, and there's so many rumors about it.
Yeah, I read something recently that
Someone just asked me about it. I don't know anything personally about a five, but I mean, there's a couple rumors about it that if we had a five soon, that it might be on a cruise ship, which would be really funny.
Yeah.
You know, or in Vegas again, but I think the cruise ship would be funnier.
The cruise ship could take you to Australia and you could film Sharknado.
Yeah, we could all put it together.
That could be one big movie.
Can you imagine? So, I mean, something like that would be great. I think we'd have to do that one sooner than later, or then I think it might be another 10, 15 years, and we're all like in a, who knows, like an old people home. I don't think the franchise is over just yet, because there's something so magical about. And again, it's a movie that has heart. You know, it doesn't hurt anyone. It doesn't make fun of anyone. It's just innocent and sweet, but so awkward.
Yeah.
But we all have those awkward moments in life. You know, sometimes you walk away and you're like, "What did I just say? Like, how did I just say that?" You know, you're like, "Oh,
that's true."
And that's really what American Pie is about.
And then it was funny because I was watching American Pie was actually on literally earlier today, and then Urban Legend was on too. And both, I was like, wow, both of your scenes, you know, right before we get a chance to interview you, you've been in this industry for such a long time and have had such a great career. What would you tell your younger self if you started over in your career?
A lot of things. You really can't grow as a person if you didn't go through the good times and the bad times. Yeah. Back when I started, there wasn't social media. There wasn't Twitter. There wasn't Instagram. There was barely paparazzi.
Yeah.
You know, in that time, everything changed from social media. So I wasn't aware of how big the social media and everything became. I think that I would have kept a lot more things, especially with the paparazzi, more private.
Mm-hmm.
I'd always thought, okay, well, if I go out and have a good time, I'm going out and have a good time. Who doesn't? Everyone does. You know, but the paparazzi might take pictures of you. Obviously, say they get 10 bad pictures of you, that's the only pictures they ever show. But it was never like it was a time when I was working. Like, you know, you work as an actor, you're working like maybe 2 months a year and the rest of the time you're off. Yeah. So when you're off, you should be able to like do whatever you want to do.
Right.
And that kind of affected your career. So in a certain way, I wish I would have been more private of having fun with people in the public. But then at a certain time, I don't really take that back. It was some of the best days of my life. And as long as one had nothing to do with the other when it came to work, I never thought it would affect each other,
mm-hmm.
which it does.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that would be a lesson that I definitely would have taken back, knowing that I know today that kind of, in a lot of ways, having fun in today's generation almost makes you a bad person,
yeah.
which I find sad. You know, you go to so many other countries, like people love to dance and hear music and have fun and live life and enjoy. It's kind of like if you do that here, they make it like it's a bad thing. And I don't see why it has to always be like that. Because at the end of the day, we have one life, life's short. We should work hard, play hard. As long as they don't, you know, conflict with each other,
right.
who cares what anyone's doing? You know, and I think that the opinions on other people, you know, the bullying that goes on and so many things that, you know, it needs to stop. There's so many things that we should put our efforts into that really matter.
Yeah.
Not these ridiculous things by picking on people. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, and it's so easier for people to do because of social media, because they can 100%. Hide behind their computers or hide behind their
Instagrams. Yeah, you have the cyberbullying.
Yeah.
You have, I mean, in so many different levels. And it really does affect people. People don't realize, like, how much when they put someone down and what they do and they bully people, they might not realize, they might think it's funny, but the person they're doing it to, it affects them in the long run on so many different levels. And yeah. I just think that really needs to stop.
Yeah.
I agree. And I do think, I mean, even beyond, like, for kids today, I've seen so many instances where people post, like, stuff on their Instagram or Facebook, and they won't get a job because of it. So,
yeah.
That's true.
You know, it goes
people
beyond.
Are getting fired now because of
yeah,
things. I just
absolutely.
Read an article about it earlier today. So
that's why so many business people can't put anything on these things because, you know, they get fired all the time. But even as an actress, when they show me the same story from 10 years ago, and they always keep writing it, who's it helping? A, it's old stories.
Yeah.
And B, that's not helping me get the films that I necessarily want to get.
That's true.
So it's like if the media and stuff can't get over these things, how can I keep growing?
Yeah.
And that's something that's out of my control because, you know, the papers sell and they sell. It's almost like you become a cartoon of yourself, of what they've portrayed you because it sells. But how do you change that? Because it's really not up to you. And if it was up to me and I could cast myself, you know, I would be doing a movie with Leonardo DiCaprio. You know,
right, like, yeah.
you know, but it's not up to me. And you know, I don't really know how to change that. But I think the way that it could be is we got to stop picking on each other and let things go.
Yeah.
Be able to graduate from something and move on from it.
Yeah.
Like you do in anything in life. It's like breaking up with someone 10 years ago and someone says, so I saw so-and-so. You know, you could be engaged now. Like, you don't really
right.
need to hear that story.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just moving on and letting people move on and keep progressing and growing.
Yeah.
Which something is we definitely need to work on.
And what's a misconception about you that you feel maybe that is out there that you're like, that's so false, you know?
Well, I mean, I just think there's so many. There's not one. We could be here for days. But, I
we
mean,
all could. Me too.
Yeah, you know, exactly. I mean, the stories that started were over American Pie was 20 years ago.
Wow, it's been that long.
Yeah, it's been that long. So, I mean, I really wish that they could write maybe more normal things about what, you know, I'm 40 now than when I'm 20. So I kind of want to, like, it's like I want to graduate and the media's not letting me.
You're forever 21 to me, by the way. I just have to say that. Forever 21.
I love it.
And you've got also another movie coming out, Tie the Knot as well. What can you tell us about that movie?
That movie was such a different experience that I've ever done. When I first got the offer and script, I thought, you know, what is this? Because it was a Bollywood film. Yeah. And I've watched so many, and they're so funny to me. And, like, you have a, you know, dead serious scene, and then all of a sudden they break out into a dance and singing. And so to mix the two together was really cool, because the filmmaking is different. You know, the acting style is different. And it was something, a new experience that I've never done before. And it was a real joy working with all different kind of actors and learning from each other. And I mean, I swear, one of those sets, were it was one of the best sets I've ever worked on. And people were just happy. They love it. And I thought, God, I wish we had a little bit more of that.
And what's your character like? Let the fans know what they can expect.
She's a teacher. She plays an American. She's a teacher from here. And she just gets fired from her job because they're letting teachers off. And she's been stuck in her hometown her whole life. And she wants to change. So she goes to the airport and she goes, just get me a ticket anywhere, you know, to get out of here. And of course, she couldn't afford anything. And the one thing that they could afford, you know, was in India. And she's like, oh, here we go. She goes to India and she starts realizing that the way the education system is over there isn't right. And she gets re-inspired to help the children. And she winds up moving to India and becoming a teacher there and really reestablishes her whole self and part of the education. And it's really a sweet story.
And how long did you film? And you filmed in India the entire time? Or?
We actually shot it all in L.A., but they did a lot of the back, like, B-camera rolls on all of the locations in India.
Oh, wow.
So when they mix it together, like, you really believe we're in India. They did a good job.
Excellent. Wow. Well, I know it's almost about time to wrap up. Daryl, any last questions from you?
Well, you know, we were really excited to have you in here. And, you know, like I said, we both have followed your career for a long time. That's why I can't believe that American Pie is 20 years old. I'm like, wait a minute. How old am I? Right. Jesus.
Yeah, that's what I said.
How old am I?
It scares me.
Wait a minute.
When people see that, I'm like, what?
Yeah, I'm like, what?
It felt like yesterday.
Yeah, it did. I was like, I was watching it today. Like, hey, it's only a year old. What word would you use to describe your career?
I would use it as, it's a good question. Part of it is fascinating. Mm-hmm. Strong. A fighter that never gives up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I keep going. You know, as much as I've been trying to be knocked down in my life,
yeah,
I'm still here. And I think I'll be like the old lady in Titanic throwing off the diamond one day. So I'm not going anywhere.
And what would you like to do next?
I would love... The next movie actually I'm doing is an awesome film. And that will be shot in London. And it's called The Dark Assassin. Mm. And that movie's about purgatory, actually.
Oh, wow.
So it's a really interesting story that's really never been touched on. And it starts off with these characters and the train crashes and it kills all these people. And the doors open and their shadows come out and they don't realize they're dead yet. When the train doors open, it's all black and white.
Hmm.
So they have to realize they're dead and they walk through and then the sins that they have and what they've done right and wrong that, you know, they have to decide which way they want to go and the lessons that they've learned, how it affected other people. Right. And in that time, when they end up at the gates of heaven, heaven and hell became together. They fought together. So it's all melted together and you see them at war and who wins and what's happened to people. And it's a great story. It's really
fascinating.
Sounds
right up my alley. It's like a cross between Ghost meets like a modern day horror movie. Almost.
It's exactly, yeah. It's really cool.
I'll be there.
2017, we can kind of expect that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, great. I think you'll really enjoy that one.
I'm excited for it.
Well, hopefully he'll come back and we'll talk about that one.
Yeah,
when
that'll be fun. Yeah, absolutely.
And we'll wear the same colors this time.
But yeah, next time we're going to color coordinate.
We were talking about that we almost wore the same color.
I swear
today,
we almost wore exactly the same outfit today.
We'll coordinate.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you again for joining us. It has truly been a pleasure. Sharknado 4, The Fourth Awakens, comes out July 31st. So I don't need to tell you, though. You guys know already. Is there any expectations of how many tweets per minute there's going to be for this one? I mean, it's just going to be billions, isn't it?
I have no idea. That's the thing. It's Sharknado.
Will you guys be live tweeting during the...
Yes, I will premiere. Be live tweeting when it happens. So that's always kind of fun, too.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Excellent. And, of course...
And also, the best part is we're having the premiere this year in Vegas.
Oh, that'll be fun.
How much fun is that going to be?
That'll be fun.
That's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, that's cool. It's going to be wild.
I've never had a premiere in Vegas, so that's kind of cool.
That will be fun indeed. And of course, Tie the Knot, that's coming out as well, so look out for that. And the Dark Assassin?
Yes.
Sometime in 2017, we'll keep you updated. Just continue following The Popcorn Talk on Twitter, and we'll let you know. At Daryl Kristen.
Yay!
At The Popcorn Talk. Thank you guys for joining us.
Bye, guys.
Wait, you can't forget to have her give her Twitter feed and social media handles and everything so people can live tweet her.
So you can follow me at Tara Reid.
There you go.
No, it's pretty simple.
Very simple.
And Snapchat, I just started, but my name is taken, so I've only done 4. But it's Tara Reid Baby.
Baby. Remember that.
You got to do some at Comic-Con.
Some for sure. I've only done 4. My sister showed me the other day how to do it, but we did all the ones like angry, like... You know, dogs and like the funny, like, this one, they're so ridiculous that we've been having fun with that.
Cool.
Perfect. Well, all right, guys, we'll see you guys on the next I Talk Movies.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Spitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.